Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. Just a look ahead here briefly. First of all, next Tuesday, we're going to have another special show here for you, courtesy of Grants Pass Downs, as Grants Pass Downs is hosting the prestigious Stewart Accreditation School in partnership with Racing Officials Accreditation Program. Now, this is a once-a-year program that is conducted to certify racing officials. It is nationwide, and I believe we have some international guests as well attending this particular racing school. So that's all at Grants Pass Downs. We'll be talking about it all. I'll get you all the details next Tuesday right here on KAJO Radio. That's quite a feat for Grants Pass to land this one. So thank you very much for listening. Today, however, we're going to, contacted me and said he'd like the opportunity to discuss the Center for Human Equality founded here in Grants Pass. And I'm going to read his words. First of all, we promote equality for every human being and strongly oppose to group judgmentalism. We oppose DEI because it uses group judgmentalism to define unique human beings. We are also opposed to the hate and demonization that comes from that. And he goes on to mentioned some other things there, but welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio, Rabbi Russell McCallman. How do you want me to call you? Is it Rabbi Russell? You and I have talked to each other several times, so
yes,
officially it's Rabbi. To friends, it's Russell. You tell me.
Russell is fine, Chuck. So let's keep it just familiar and friendly. And thank you for having me on the show this morning. And thank you for responding to my request to come and talk a little bit about the Center for Human Equality. So the Center for Human Equality, I founded here in Grants Pass about 5 years ago. And
Russell, if you could move a little bit closer to the microphone here, just sure. Pull it up about six inches. Yeah. That's a little better there.
Okay.
We're getting a little echo.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
And so I founded the Center for Human Equality about five years ago. It's a nonprofit. It is nonpartisan. It's secular. And primarily what it's trying to do is to promote and to improve human relations for everyone. And so there's a lot of programs out there that are human relational type programs that emphasize certain types of groups. They're opposed to racism, or they're opposed to anti-Semitism. They're opposed to these different particular kinds of group judgmentalism. But with the Center for Human Equality, we decided to take the approach of rather than concentrate on specific types of group judgments, we'd like to go after group judgments altogether. And I think that's the foundational principle of the Center for Human Equality, is that it's basically for everyone. It's not just for particular groups. So even though I'm Jewish and a rabbi, that doesn't mean that the Center for Human Equality is based on anti-Semitism, going after anti-Semitism. So what we're trying to meet the fundamental human needs of what it is that causes some of these isms that we have, like racism and anti-Semitism and sexism and, you know, all the other kinds of things that are based on either gender or skin color or something like that. And so I went back and I looked at different types of writings. Some of the writings were by Martin Luther King, for example. And when he talked in I Have a Dream speech, Martin Luther King said that we should judge his children not by their skin color, we should judge his children by their character. Well, character is an individual trait. We all have a unique character, and that's one of the foundational principles for the Center for Human Equality, is that every human being is a unique human being. There are no exact duplicates or copies of other human beings, and there never will be. And so, you know, for you, Chuck, there's never going to be another person ever in the history of the world that's exactly like you, and for me there's
thankfully
not, and for me there's not going to be another human being exactly like me, and that's probably a good thing for human society as well. but so that was the message of Martin Luther King, and really what the country did was to go away from that message, unfortunately, and it went back into tribalism and groupism. And that's kind of where DEI came from. DEI came from the idea that, well, let's let's see people as collectives, or let's see people as groups, and then we'll apply certain kind of values. In fact, we'll even create a human hierarchy when it comes to, you know, who has moral authority and who doesn't have moral authority. We'll base it on your skin color, or we'll base it on your gender, or we'll base it on LGBT, or whatever those kind of things are. And so the problem with doing something like that is that you're looking at human beings as groups rather than looking at them as unique individuals. And so, and you're going away from the message of Martin Luther King, which was to judge by character rather than skin color. And of course, skin color is a group characteristic, not a individual characteristic. And so I think it's very important that we come back to this idea and come back to Martin Luther King's dream of making sure that if we're going to talk about human relations and how we relate to one another as human beings, that we should come back to some of these core values and fundamental values and build the philosophy, or any kind of human relational philosophy, build on top of what those core values are. And so, you know, you find it's kind of like the biblical idea of love your neighbor. So, you know, love your neighbor is a great idea. We have the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so we have these wonderful foundational principles or values that we want to build human relations on top of those and derive from that. And so that's what's so important about this whole concept is that we need to make sure that any kind of philosophy that we build, that it relates back to love your neighbor, or relates back to the unique individuality of every human being. So
let's start first of all with the Center for Human Equality. I was surprised to hear that it was founded 5 years ago, and you founded it 5 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. Is it just you? How many people are involved? Is there a headquarters? You said it's a nonprofit. Give me some details about CHE. I hate initials. The Center for Human Equality.
CHE, yes. Yeah. And it's not Che Guevara, is it?
It is not Che, right.
So, yes. I founded it about 5 years ago. It's primarily myself. It's a conceptual foundation. I did have an office in downtown Grants Pass for a little while, but just didn't feel the need to do that any longer. We do have a website. So the Center for Human Equality .org. So people can go to the website, and they'll find some of the writings by myself and some of the things that we do promote. We did do the human relational training for the Grants Pass Police Department here in town. So in what we promoted in that training was the same kind of concept of getting back to MLK's dream of judging people by their character. And so when I talked to the police department, one of the things I tried to do was to have them understand that any time that we're judging people by group, and it's referred to as group judgmentalism, or groupism, you can use either term. But any time that we're judging people by group, we're wrong to do so. So, you know, obviously the Holocaust was caused by Jews being judged as a group. And so the Nazis in the Holocaust considered Jews, all Jews, men, women, children, any member of the group of Jewish people, they considered them to be either subhuman or bad or evil or whatever, and that led to their murder and destruction of the Jewish people in the Holocaust. And so if the lesson of the Holocaust is not be nice to Jewish people, which I would like people to do as well, but the lesson of the Holocaust is don't put people in groups and judge them by groups. So the true evil of racism, anti-Semitism, and all these other isms, sexism and all the others, the true evil of all this is group judgmentalism. And so putting people in groups is fine. I mean, you have groups, you have Christian, you have Republicans, you have Democrats, you have all these different groups. And what we're seeing today in the political environment, because we're so polarized, what we're seeing today is that on the political side, we're putting people in groups such as, well, one group that's in particular that's been targeted has been the MAGA group. So the MAGA group is being attacked very, very strongly today, as a matter of fact, and probably will be for a while, is being attacked as, you know, everybody in the MAGA group is bad or evil or whatever by the Democrats on that side. And Republicans, of course, they do the same thing to Democrats. But in this case, that particular group of human beings, MAGA, and there are millions of them, are all being judged as being bad people. In fact, I've even heard on social media that MAGA people have been referred to as maggots. Well, we know that maggots are not human. And so what you're doing when you call all MAGA people maggots, for example, you are basically dehumanizing the entire group of MAGA supporters or people who consider themselves to be part of the MAGA group. And it's that kind of group judgmentalism that leads to violence and murder down the road, frankly, because when you start dehumanizing people, that's where you start having problems. And it starts very early in the process. Just putting people in a group alone is the first step toward dehumanizing them. Because so if you look at myself and say, okay, I'm Jewish. So you say, okay, you're a Jew. Immediately when you put myself in a group and say that I'm a Jew, you're going to basically say that you're going to deny. If you think anything else beyond that, you're going to deny that I'm a unique individual. Because every Jew is a unique individual. Every Christian is a unique individual. Every Republican is a unique individual. And so we need to get away from, so putting people in groups is fine, Republicans, Jews, Christians, whatever, but when you start assigning values to that group, when you start saying all these people are bad or all these people are evil or all these people are stupid or whatever the kind of name you want to call them, when you start doing that, you're on that road of dehumanizing them, just like the Nazi Germans were on the road of dehumanizing Jews. And down that path and down that road leads to some of the most horrific human tragedies in human history. And so if we want to avoid any of those kind of human tragedies, we want to be able to stop from engaging in group judgmentalism of entire groups of people. It's easy for us to do that. We've done it. If you look at human history, it's a compilation of always judging people by group. And so MLK had the right idea. Martin Luther King had the right idea. We need to stop judging people by skin color. We need to stop judging people by their religion or whatever. We need to think of our fellow human beings as the unique, truly unique individual they are, because that, frankly, to tell you that is the truth. That is the absolute truth about every single human being.
You mentioned a lot about history here, and boy, you could go back to the beginning of time and point out different areas where this has happened and what has followed. But you mentioned Martin Luther King and his great speech. At any rate, let's use that as a starting point for what we're talking about today. Because that was preceded by an area of unrest, upheaval in our own country. Following that speech, and I don't know if that was the calming point or where that the Enlightenment became evident at that time, but that seemed to be the point where things calmed down, and we had an area of calm and interpersonal relationships that were good for a long time. And it seems like it's gone the other way right now, not necessarily because we're talking about race, and that's where Martin Luther King was, but now we're talking about more about idealism and thoughts. Can you point to a point in time where this really came to the forefront?
The idea of judging people by their uniqueness or the idea of grouping people?
The idea of grouping people right now, we mentioned MAGA. That's a relatively recent term from President Trump, Make America Great Again. And I've always thought Make America Great Again is a great...
seems like it'd be positive.
A great thing. And then I see people say, and they're spitting it almost like it's distasteful and foul in their mouths when they say it.
Yeah.
But they're talking about individuals that I know and respect.
Yes, exactly. So,
and I've got people on both sides of the aisle that I feel that way about. So,
well, and that's true. You know, and I'm not going to let the Republicans off the hook because Republicans also can have very group judgmentalism going toward the Democrats as well. The demon
and we've
rats.
We've seen that locally.
Demon rats, I think, is one of the terms that's used. And of course, rats. We all know that rats are not human, and therefore they're dehumanizing Democrats as well. So I think, and of course, this all leads to the polarization that we have in America today, and it's also leading to violence and murder, as we see around the country. I mean, the attacks on Tesla dealerships and all those kind of things were, all that violence was created because of people considered at the other side to be maggots. And if Elon Musk is going to work with the MAGA person, the key MAGA person, which is the President Trump, then that's going to happen. So, well, yeah, I agree with you that MLK came out with this and he had I Have a Dream speech, and it really did start making people think, yes, well, maybe we should look beyond skin color. Maybe we should look beyond surface appearances and look at the true essence of who that human being is. And the true essence of every human being is not what they look like. It's not what their skin color is. It's not what their face looks like. It's not any of these kind of things. The true essence of every human being comes from inside their mind. And this is what Rene Descartes said when he said, I think, therefore I am. So he found that when he went to extreme skepticism, what he found is that every human being it comes from their mind. It doesn't come, and the uniqueness comes from their mind. It's not what they look like. So true diversity, the definition of human diversity is not really based on what somebody looks like or what their skin color is. True diversity, it comes from a person's mind, and every single human being is diverse from that perspective. But when MLK did go through that, what he found out was that we had that period of time and where actually race relations and a lot of things started to become a lot better. But then we fell back, the country fell back into this collectivist idea. And it was promoted a lot of time, promoted by things such as critical race theory and those kind of things. They want to see people as groups, and then they want to demonize the groups. And so we're seeing that today in our political world, where one political side, both political sides tend to try to demonize the other political side by group. And that's the exact same kind of group judgmentalism that the Center for Human Equality is opposed to.
All right. Russell, we've got to take just a little break here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to stay with us. Our guest today is Rabbi Russell McAllman. We're talking about the Center for Human Equality right here on KAJO Radio. We'll take your phone calls after the top of the hour if you want to jot that phone number down. It's 541-472-1270. In the meantime, though, I want you to listen very closely to a couple of good messages here. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us. We continue with talking about the Center for Human Equality. Rabbi Russell McAllman is here with us. And Russell, we've talked about some of the philosophy and things and some of the motivation behind it. What does the Center for Human Equality really advocate here for? Are there answers for this, or is it something that we've got to deal with individually?
Well, what we advocate for, Chuck, is...
Wait. Okay. All right, you're back on.
Okay.
That's operator error.
What we advocate for is that people make a human judgment about other human beings rather than a value judgment about a group of human beings. And so what I mean by that is that really when we want people to understand that everyone is equal, and of course that's part of the name is Center for Human Equality. So the equality part of that name applies to every single human being. So there are no human beings that are better than other human beings. There are no better human beings who are worse than others. There are no superhumans, Übermenschens, as the Germans used to say. There are no Übermenschens. There are no subhumans. humans either. So we think of human beings, human equality, as a horizontal line. So if you put everybody on the same horizontal line, and it's nobody gets above the line and nobody gets below the line. So that's a fundamental key concept when you talk about human equality. Groups tend to think of themselves as superior. So we tend to have a lot of group supremacy that's gone on throughout human history. Of course, the Germans thought of themselves as superior human beings. The Aryans were superior human beings. And people who were not Aryans, of course, were subhuman or were not quite as human as the Aryans were. But you see that quite a bit. You see sometimes in religion, in some religions, you'll see that religious group tends to think of themselves as better human beings than other human beings. And what the Center for Human Equality says is that, no, we're all equal in value. And so we want to make sure that people understand that when you look at another human being or when you interact with another human being, that you don't take the position that I'm a better human than you are. Whether you're more educated, whether you have more money than somebody else has or whatever, none of that makes you a better human being. It may make you more accomplished if you're more educated. It may make you wealthier if you have more money, but it doesn't make you a better human being. And so that's a key fundamental concept with the Center for Human Equality. And we see that violated quite often because some of this is due to human nature, but we have to overcome human nature in the sense of trying to get along with each other. So, you know, history is replete with all these examples of how we've killed each other and murdered each other and been violent with each other. And a lot of that comes from this idea that I'm a better human being than you are, therefore I have the right to kill you and get rid of you because you're not really as human as I am.
You talk about a group judgmentalism here, but is the human species a group species? Do we have a herd instinct? Do we like being together with the, if I'm a buffalo, I want to stay in a buffalo herd, not a cow herd.
Yes.
If I'm in the army, have I gone from black and green, black and white to a total of green?
Yes.
That sort of thing. Doesn't matter what color my skin is, but I'm a member of this group. And is that part of the human species?
Oh, absolutely, Chuck. It's tribalism is one of our oldest and most ancient forms of group association. And tribalism, if you're a member of the tribe, you're better than people who are not a member of the tribe. That's a very, very strong human thing to overcome. But that's what we have to overcome. And, you know, we're not going to get everybody to do that. It's impossible to think that we're going to have everybody think of everybody else as equal to themselves. But that's if we're going to be teaching anything about human relations. So, and that's a problem we have with DEI. It says DEI even goes as far as to create hierarchies of human beings. And so they not only look at everybody as groups. So this is the white group, the black group, the brown group, the LGBT group, the Muslim group, the Christian group, the Jewish group, all these different groups. They not only look at people as groups and then assign values to those groups, but they do it also to create a moral hierarchy. And that is so harmful for human relations. And really what it does is to actually endorse racism, endorse anti-Semitism. I have a book written by Alan Bernstein, and basically it says that DEI is anti-Semitic. And there's some truth to that, just like other people have said that DEI is racist. There's truth to that as well. And the truth comes from the perspective that DEI uses group judgmentalism and uses collectivism in order to see other human beings. And if you ever go to a DEI training, My son was telling me about a DEI training that he went to, and he said, in the person doing the training says, well, I hate to do this, but I'm going to divide you up by skin color, different groups by skin color, because that's what we have to do to do our training. Well, that's because the training is all based on group identification. So the identification of everybody who works for that particular employer is based on what skin color they have. And of course, that's totally wrong.
And the name itself, DEI, diversity,
equity,
and inclusion, but then they separate you.
Right.
Is that what I just heard?
Yeah. Well, the inclusion part is definitely wrong because they do separate you. So our position really is that if you're going to do human relational training, NDEI is the kind of human relational training, and if you're going to try to improve human relations between everyone, the worst thing you can do, the worst approach you can do is to put people in groups and then basically say one group is different than another group based on values.
Does it depend on how you define those groups?
Not really.
Black and white, red, yellow?
No, it doesn't. You know, and of course, we can have thousands of different groups of human beings. The problem is group judgmentalism itself. That's the fundamental or the essence of the problem is that we are putting a whole collection of human beings and we're saying all these people are good people or bad people, assigning a moral value to them.
All right, Russell, we're at a point where I've got to take a break here and get on with the news. We'll be back after the top of the hour. I do want to mention one more thing. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the number to call, 541-472-1270. We'll take your calls after the news that's coming up right here on KAJO Grants Pass. The forecast for Grants Pass and the surrounding Rogue and Illinois valleys today, sunny skies with a high near 87 and a light wind. Tonight, clear skies, low should be around 53 with an evening breeze. Tomorrow, sunny skies with a high near 84. Then on Thursday, sunny skies with a high near 80. Friday, partly sunny with a high near 72. It is the climate. Grants Pass's high yesterday, 85. The overnight low, 48 degrees. Sunset this evening at 8:53. Will reappear tomorrow morning at 5:35. Rogue River level this morning, 2.74 feet and holding steady. Flowing at a rate of 3,070 cubic feet a second with a turbidity reading of 3 and a water temperature of 61 degrees. Clear blue skies here in South Grants Pass right now. It is 68 degrees at the studios of KAJO, where this news and weather was brought to you by Lewis Power Equipment. So you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest, Rabbi Russell McCallman, this morning is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. We just had a call come through, and it is gone away. I don't know what happened to them. At any rate, we'll continue our conversation wait a minute. Another chance here. We do have a caller online. Russell, let's take this call. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests?
I do. I took a couple of courses with a rabbi through OLLI, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and it was a rabbi in Ashland whose mother had survived the Holocaust and had written a book and did presentations, the book entitled Never Again. It really, really touched me personally about what you had mentioned and about the races, feeling that they're superior, et cetera. So on a personal level, how would you promote from a person to person the tolerance that I so value?
Did you get that, Russell?
How would I promote that's exactly what the Center for Human Equality is all about. It's to try to promote the idea that we're going to treat each other as unique individuals and that we have as human beings, that we are all equally valuable. And of course, the Holocaust and what happened, probably one of the most horrific examples of human tragedies in history, was also caused by the most educated society at that time. So we have to understand that education alone has not been able to stop us from engaging in such primitive behavior as thinking that we are a superior human, one group of human beings are superior to another, to the point of even being able to murder those other human beings that are not as equal as they are. So what we try to do is, and the group judgmentalism idea is what we try to use to teach people that not only are you equal as human beings, you cannot make judgments of entire groups of human beings, because every person in that human in that group is a unique individual, and so you can only judge unique individuals. You can only judge a person by their own unique characteristics and their own individuality. You cannot judge them by what group you put them into, and so in combination with the idea that we're all equal is the idea that what the Nazis did was to actually make a judgment about all Jews and saying that they're all bad and bad or subhuman or evil, and that that they had the right then to destroy them. And of course, that's that path that you go down when you start engaging in group judgmentalism. And so that's why we speak out very strongly against any kind of group judgments. Even in today's political world, we prefer that people not make group judgments about people in politics either.
Does that help, ma'am?
Go ahead. Also, the concept of tribalism that's gone for eternity,
yes.
I think is a good way that people have groups. But seeing the transition of when it became superiority or violent. I mean, if you go way back to the Mongols, whatever, it's been going on for a long time.
Yes.
So your concept is to get away from that way of being and judge people, not judge people, but look at people individually. And I take that out in my day-to-day where I try to be tolerant of other people.
Yes.
If somebody cuts me off on the highway, I try not to, you know, do things where I become angry or judge and maybe say things like they may be having a bad day.
Right.
Just these little things I can do to change the way that I deal with situations.
Exactly. And that's a very good thing to do. I think what's important for us to remember is that we have an inclination to do this, and so I think it's important to be cognizant of the fact that we are going to be somewhat tribalistic. We are going to favor our group, but we can learn, because even racism and sexism and anti-Semitism and those kind of things are learned behaviors. It doesn't necessarily come naturally to us to think of other people as being subhuman. I think that's something that actually can be taught. It can be learned. You know, we're more comfortable with our own group probably by nature, but to think of ourselves as being superior to another group, that's definitely a learned behavior. And so what we need to learn, what we need to do is to, if we've been taught that, we need to unlearn that. And if we teach children about human relations, we need to teach children that, you know, every person in their classroom is a unique individual. They're not a group. And that they all have equality. The quiet ones are just as equal to the people, to the children who are really outgoing and extrovertish. So, you know, we just need to start teaching children that grouping other children and assigning a value to that group, like those children are lesser or whatever than we are, is just very, very harmful for human relations. And so we need that kind of learning and training to go on, both at the child level, but also adults. Adults need to have that learning reinforced, because it's so easy to fall back on the other. The other is in some ways more natural to us, to fall back to thinking that, you know, our group is better than their group. And so we need to actually try to unlearn that. And it seems to be almost a lifelong process of reminding ourselves, because we tend to start falling back into those kind of group judgments over and over
again. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Does that answer your questions, ma'am?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. All right, Russell, is there a way forward, according to your philosophy and your organization here? What would you advocate for in terms of human understanding here, or a human, or a way forward to overcome what we see today. We've talked about in the past. We've talked about race relations and the Holocaust, the assassination of 6 million Jews. Today, that looks like a politician situation or a political situation, with one side squaring off on the other and various factions within each of the major parties right now. Looks like the both the Republican side and the Democratic side are really really fractionalized. There are left levels and right levels in each party right now, and it has reached the point where it is getting ugly.
Right, and what's driving that, Chuck, is with group judgmentalism often comes hate. And so hate is a very strong human emotion. Hate is an emotion that motivates human beings to actually act. We like to think of love your neighbor. Love your neighbor in love itself tends to be an emotion that doesn't necessarily motivate people, but hate certainly does. And so what we're finding in today's polarization is we're finding a lot of group judgmentalism. And you think that would be somewhat surprising, because supposedly DEI was going to try to get us away from this kind of stuff, or at least try to improve human relations, but DEI has made things worse. And the reason why it's made things worse is because, in a sense, if you really get down to the core essence of what DEI is an endorsement of group judgmentalism. It actually backs up judging people by group. And so that's one of the reasons why it's made things worse, not better. And so we need to move away from DEI, definitely. And we need to, and in Oregon, of course, DEI is strongly supported by the state government, supported by universities. And that's the other thing that I find so surprising, maybe even shocking to a certain extent, is that you have these institutions of higher education who are basically supporting racism and anti-Semitism. And you wonder, you know, these are educated people. They have doctorates, PhDs. You know, don't they understand that that's how harmful that is to human relations, and really was one of the primary causes of the Holocaust, was this kind of group judgmentalism. And yet they've created a human relational philosophy of themselves called DEI, which engages almost exclusively in group judgmentalism and creates these hierarchies, different levels of human beings. Well, the problem with different levels of human beings is that you're grouping them and classifying them. So in politics, we have group judgmentalism going on, not only between Republicans and Democrats, but we also have it between rich people and poor people. You know, so Bernie Sanders has his own.
Within the Democratic Party, there is the ultra left and the middle left, and with the Republican Party, it's the ultra right and the middle right. Yes. So we've got four strong factions there voicing opinions right now, and it's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy. Polarization is not healthy. But polarization comes from group judgmentalism, which also creates hatred of the other. And so rather than love of the other, it's hatred of the other. And so with hate, you get a lot of things that are going on. I believe that October 7th, the attack in Israel was caused by, primarily was caused by anti-Semitism, which is hatred of the Jewish people. And so, and a lot of things that Iran was doing in wanting to wipe out Israel was really caused by anti-Semitism. You know, so it's that type of group judgment and hate that causes so many bad things that happen in human society. And so we have to find a cure for that. And we talked earlier about the idea of technology. Technology has advanced so much in the world and in our country. You know, if you look at the charts, you know, it's just skyrocketed how many things we can do now. And of course, now you also have artificial intelligence, which is adding a whole other dimension to what technology can do for us. But where we're really primitive and almost barbaric, and October 7th showed us how barbaric human beings can be with each other, is the idea that of trying to improve human relations. And so when I put this together, Chuck, it was the subtitle of the book, and I gave you a copy of it, in my approach is referred to as ethical individualism. And ethical individualism is the idea that we're going to only look at people as the unique individual they are and judge them by that. And we're never going to put people in a group and judge the group, because that's where all this harm comes from. And that's where the anti-Semitism comes from. And that's where racism comes from. And that's where even male and female, man and woman strife can come from a lot of times by women judging men and men judging women. So you have a lot of these kind of things that go on, but they cause a lot of strife between human beings who are all unique and should be judged only by their own individuality.
So your Center for Human Equality is trying to combat these things to make it a better world. Is there a path down? What do you need? If I'm interested in coming on board with you, where do I find the information? How do I help? Are you looking for help?
Yes. We're always looking for support, primarily support for the concepts that we're trying to promote. And really what the Center for Human Equality is conceptual in the sense that we're trying to promote ethical individualism as a alternative type of human relational philosophy to something like DEI. So if you were to say you can have a DEI program here or you can have an ethical individualism program here, we would say you should have an ethical individualism program. Just like with the Grants Pass Police Department, when I gave the training for them, you know, they did not want the group judgment type training that DEI provided, because they didn't want somebody coming in and saying all white people are bad. So I came in and I said, well, you know, you can't say all white people are bad because that's a group judgment. So what we should do instead is to treat everybody, and everybody the police force would interact with, they should treat everybody as a unique individual. So what you can do is you go to the centerforhumanequality.org. So it's Center for Human Equality, all kind of one word, .org. And that's our website. There's contact information on the website. We are going to be creating a membership for the Center for Human Equality so people can become members of the Center for Human Equality, which in a way means that they're on board with our message. They would like to promote our message as often as they can. If there are corporate people out there, if there are government people out there who want training on ethical individualism rather than DEI type training, we're available for that as well. So,
all right. We're going to take a little break here and come back with our final segments today. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. This is our final segment here. We've got probably about 8 minutes left here of the program right now. And there's still time to call if you have a question or comment for our guest. That's Rabbi Russell McCallman. It's 541-472-1270. Russell, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you right now. And of course, we know that you're a rabbi. You're sporting a T-shirt here with the Star of David on it. So there's certainly no hiding this. But a comment on the recent rise of anti-Semitism that we've seen here in the United States on college campuses, off college campuses. Is there a reason for it to be exploding right now? And exploding, I think, is the right word.
Exploding is the right word, Chuck. And it's a very, very unfortunate to see anti-Semitism rise in the United States. The United States is one of those countries that was founded on individualism and the rights of individuals, and to see that kind of collective judgment going on in the United States where Jews are targeted simply for being Jews. We had the murders in Washington, D.C. Recently of the Jewish people who were shot by the Free Palestine group from people on the left. But the recent statistics have also shown that there is no other group of human beings in the United States that has been hit more with crimes and threats against them over the last couple of years than the Jewish population. And it's also the Jewish population is also one of the smallest minorities in America. So this is extremely unfortunate, but I think it's driven by things such as DEI, because I think DEI has anti-Semitic components to it. But it's being driven by group judgmentalism. And here's the other thing about group judgmentalism, which is very, very important to understand. So why would American Jews be attacked in America for something that's going on in Israel. And so there's two parts to that, to the reasons why that's happening. One is the what's going on in Israel is being done by the Jewish people in Israel. And so when people judge American Jews for what's going on in Israel, they're basically doing what is referred to as collective guilt. And with group judgmentalism comes collective guilt. In other words, if you're a member of this group and somebody in your group does something wrong, then because you're a member of that group, then you're a bad person as well. It's kind of like if you had a white person doing a crime in the city and somebody said, well, if a white person does a crime in the city, then all other white people are responsible for that crime. Well, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but it happens often. And so what's the anti-Semitic attacks that are happening in the United States currently and are still going on, in fact, they're growing, and even on college campuses, again, places of higher education where you're starting to see group judgmentalism and hate for the Jewish people and other people on those campuses, this is something that just should not be happening if we had a society that thought of people as individuals rather than think of them as groups. And so that's why it's so extremely important for the Center for Human Equality to make sure that we try to move people away from this idea of judging people by group and get them back to Martin Luther King's dream of judging people by their unique individuality rather than their skin color or other characteristics or by their religion in the case of anti-Semitism. So,
now, I'm aware that there is a relatively small Jewish community here locally.
Yes.
And are we seeing any local
yes.
Anti-Semitism?
Yes, we are. And we have for a while. And it's come, some of it comes from the extremist right here. But more recently, we've been getting some from the extreme left. So it used to come from extremists in the Republican Party.
We're talking locally here.
Locally.
Yes, okay.
Yes, uh-huh. And now with what's going on with Israel, I'm starting to see, and to put it bluntly, some of it's coming from the Democrats here, more the extreme Democrats, who have become somewhat anti-Semitic as well and judging Jews. In fact, they'll attack me on social media simply because I'm Jewish, like I'm responsible for what's going on in Israel. And of course, I'm not responsible for what's going on in Israel. Whether I support it or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not responsible for it. So why would they attack me or call me names simply for being Jewish? But that you're starting to see that now from the left quite a bit as well. And that shows you that the left, the unfortunate problem with the left is that it's adopted DEI. It has it's in a way endorsed this idea that people should be judged by what group you're in. And so being Jewish, I'm going to be judged by my group and what other Jews are doing. And that collective guilt process. It's like, you know, when we interned the Japanese here in America, everybody realized how wrong that was, that we should assign collective guilt to the Japanese in America simply by what the nation of Japan was doing by making war on the United States, Pearl Harbor, for example. You know, that's that same error is being made now with Jews in America who are being attacked because of what Israel is doing over in the Middle East.
Russell, we have 2 minutes left here right now. What should people take away from today's program?
What I'd like them to take away, Chuck, is that, first of all, that we have the Center for Human Equality here in Grants Pass. I founded it about 5 years ago, as I mentioned, and I'd love to have people support our organization. Our organization really has an impact not only in our area, but also in the state of Oregon, as well as even nationally. So we have people around the country who are supporting the Center for Human Equality. So I appreciate people showing their support and for really rethinking the whole idea of human relations and trying to move away from concepts like DEI, which are much more harmful.
All right. You've been listening to Rabbi Russell McCallman here and talking about his Center for Human Equality. And there is a website. Quickly, give him the website.
It's centerforhumanequality.org.
All right.
O-R-G.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, next Tuesday, once again, we'll welcome the program will feature Grants Pass Downs hosting the prestigious Stewart Accreditation School in partnership with Racing Officials Accreditation Program. That is a nationwide situation. It's done once a year, and Grants Pass Downs is hosting it this year. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
Welcome to the summer of